You can't delegate digital transformation for your company. You and your executives have to own it. Executives need to engage, embrace, and adopt new ways of working with the latest in emerging technologies. And that's where we come in. Welcome to Embracing Change. The business world is changing at a faster pace than it ever has, and companies need to keep up. We interview the most interesting CEOs, CMOs, and other executives to talk about their challenges with digital transformation in their industry. This is Embracing Change, and this is your host, Gerardo Carrick.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Embracing Change, where we talk about digital transformation in different industries. Our guest today is Dwight Flanagan, Chief Marketing Officer at SunWest Bank. Hi, Dwight. How are you?
Hi, Roland. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Thank you for spending some time with us today.
Sure.
Excellent. So, Dwight, before we start any conversation, I always like my guests to introduce themselves because they do a much better job than if I try to tell your story. Yeah. For our audience. Would you mind spending a minute or two just telling us about yourself?
No problem. So I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at SunWest Bank. I've been here a little over 4 years. Prior to that, I was heavily involved in the fintech space, both in the lending side and the insurance side, mortgage side, those all of those kind of different businesses. That kind of led me here today. Prior to that, I was in San Francisco for a few years with a company called QuinStreet. And then before that, right out of college, started my own business distributing batteries across the United States. So one marketing thing kind of led to the other that led me to where I'm at today. So that's
excellent. And I have to say that banking and fintech are pretty much in vogue in the last couple of weeks because of everything that has happened in financial industry. So, so I would like to talk to you about the, first of all, kind of like give some context of what's going on, right? So can we talk about what has happened in the last 5 years in the industry, right?
There's been a ton of transformation for banking by way of moving into the digital space. I mean, you see banks, you know, like Capital One and places like that trying to open these kind of non-manned branches, so to speak, where things can be done digitally. That's permeated the industry overall. There's still what our bank is really good at, and what there's still a need for is that kind of relationship-based banking. Although they're going digital, there's still a need for higher-end transactions for people to be involved, people to be there. I mean, you saw, you know, over the past few weeks, all these things happening in the banking industry. The first thing people do is reach out to their, you know, relationship managers, their bank executives, things like that. So the relationship banking that we do is still top priority for us in the banking overall. There has been quite a bit of change into the digital space. You see it everywhere.
Yeah. And how important it is that the human relationship now, you know, now more than ever, right?
Yeah, of course, more than ever. There are no tools that you can build, no technological tools that you can build that are there for people when they have questions and needs arise and that personal touch that they want to hear from somebody. There's no tools that you can build that can do that. The AI that they're developing now, it won't even take that place. People want to be reassured that their banks are you know, on solid ground, that their banker knows what he's talking about, that, you know, people and individuals that they're dealing with at their bank are intelligent and doing intelligent things across the board. And so the relationship banking that we do and that a lot of smaller regional and community banks do is really necessary for the industry. There's technology plays a huge factor in everything that we do. We are driven by, you know, making advanced technology to make things easier for our customers and clients. But at the core of our bank and a lot of banks is the relationships that we have with our clients.
So if we try to separate, you know, understanding that, you know, banking is, you know, the human element is super important, right? Because we have to understand that, you know, obviously you are dealing with people's savings, you know, banks are dealing with people's savings, but also they're dealing with the, you know, with employees and all of that responsibility that comes around, right?
Yeah.
But so where is it appropriate to talk about technology and digital transformation? You know, in which elements of that value chain and process are, you know, the right elements to, you know, to improve through technology?
Yeah. So that's how you have to look at it, right? When we're talking about technology and digital transformation for our services on the back end, are do they benefit the client, right? Are we just building something to build something, or are we building something on the back end that's going to benefit the client ultimately, where for example, they can log into their accounts faster, or they can see more information in their accounts, or they can log in online from all kinds of different technological devices. So there are quite a few things that go into the decisions that we make about the technology that we're building on the back end of our bank. And the core of that is what's best for our clients. Do our clients need this? Are our clients going to want this? Are we just, is this something that other banks are offering that we're going to offer? We don't work like that. We discuss things with our clients. We know what they want. We know what they need. We know what kind of integrations they're looking for. So we're kind of at the forefront of that with our, and it makes it a little different because we are a commercial bank. We are a business bank. So the technology is a little different, right? Our business customers want business integrations. So that's, you know, mainly what we're looking at all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But at the core of everything we do is this going to impact our clients and affect them positively?
So when you look at what has happened in this industry in general, right, and especially in the last 5 years, are there certain elements of that value chain or that connected ecosystem of financing that you've seen that technology has made a huge impact in terms of either not only the user experience, but maybe also the back end of you know, of the bank becoming more efficient? You know what elements have actually been improved in the last 5-6 years that have made an impact?
So you and I are approximately the same age, probably. So when you're looking back at when we first started our careers, just take accounting software, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about accounting software, when we were in the beginning of our careers, there wasn't really a QuickBooks or a Quicken and things like that. There wasn't this automated accounting software. That's evolved to the point now where in the past 5 or 6 years, whether you're a homeowner association or a commercial property management outfit or whatever kind of business you run, you want your bank and your accounting software integrated to the point where everything is made simple for you as a client, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of that. So the technology advances in just those integrations with accounting softwares across the board have just become phenomenal. It's become a thing that we're really focused on and we're really proud of and we're really doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, 30 years ago, when we started our career, that, you know, people are still writing in ledgers in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
We're still barely using Excel to get that done. So the advancement of that has really led for companies to grow. Like, you know, an HOA doesn't have to have somebody, you know, managing an Excel spreadsheet anymore. They can integrate their software package with their bank and everything flows smoothly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in terms of I was talking to another to a past guest about the fintech revolution, right? And he said something that was very interesting. He was saying that what these revolutions are doing, right? And it could be in fintech, it could be in educational technology, it could be in any other aspect, right? You know, you know, a lot of these companies, what they're doing is they're unbundling the whole process, and then picking a piece, improving that piece, making it cheaper, faster, better.
Yeah.
And then rebundling it.
Yeah.
Right. So when I think about fintech, I'm thinking about maybe mortgage processing, right? Or credit rating different elements of that, of the whole process of banking that a lot of these fintechs are just kind of like unbundling and picking and just making it.
They're all specializing in different aspects. And I don't even, honestly, I don't even believe it's fintech for the most part. It's just technology in general. I think mm-hmm. the technology companies are coming in, whether they're in the financial technology space or the education technology space or the services space, like no matter where they're at, they're taking what used to be a whole process, pulling out part of that process, perfecting part of that process, and then adding it back into the process to make the process more smooth.
Exactly.
And that, I see that's happening everywhere, whether it's in mm-hmm. finance or whether it's an education, no matter what it is, the technology is advancing so fast that there are massive benefits to, you know, making sure that each part of that of any process is perfected. But at the same time, there has to be a human element in there, right? That we've talked about. So when you look at that, the ChatGPT, the AI open AI that just came out, right? The reason they improved on that so much in the past year or so was because they finally had a version of, I think it was version 3.0, where they allowed individuals to come in and monitor what was happening and give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down or monitor the chat and kind of have a human element in there, where now that's made the advancement so much better than it was at ChatGPT. I think they're at version 4 now. So yeah, having that human element in there will always be part of technology. But yes, some of these companies, no matter what space they're in, they're taking out little parts of the processes and they're just making it to where it's a smooth, seamless transition of that and part of that process. It makes it a great, usually a great product for the client in the end, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In many cases, creating a platform, right? A platform where, you know, they can integrate, you know, many banks into that platform and provide that at scale. So we're recording this podcast a week after the debacle of SVB, right? And the Credit Suisse, right? So I think I would be remiss if I wouldn't ask you your opinion on what's going on in the industry. And probably by the time we publish this, some other things would have happened. But at least I would love to get your personal perspective on what's driving all of this and your personal opinion.
Sure. So our CEO did a great job, and it's on our website at sunwestbank.com, of explaining really why SVB failed and why these other banks are having these issues. In a lot of cases, it's just boils down to bad investments at the wrong time. As before the you know, interest rates were starting to go up, there was investments made at those banks that really hurt them. There's a lot of factors into why some of these banks failed. I would not even pretend to be smart enough to tell you all the factors why they failed, but there is a ton of factors why they failed. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, either bad management or just, you know, not paying attention at the wheel, that kind of stuff. So if you go to our website, again, sunwestbank.com, you'll see Eric Covey. We have him on the homepage there. He does a full explanation, like an 8-minute explanation of why it failed. And he gets into the financial areas of what happened exactly and what were the causes. And so I think it'd be better for you guys to listen to that than listen to me say it. Just from us talking internally, that, I mean, it's, you know, you make a few bad investments, you have some bad management, you take your eye off the ball, you look at other things instead of just kind of the solvency of your bank and your client's money, and that can happen.
Yeah. Well, when we were doing our prep talk, we talked about the importance of community banking and local banking, right? And I think you made a point to me that, you know, most people know probably 4 or 5 banks, which are like the major banks.
Yeah.
But that's not where the majority of people bank. Right. And do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And it's a majority probably of where people bank in terms of like their personal accounts and things like that, even business accounts. But it is not community banking. Right. So there's a myth out there now after 2008 that these 4 or 5 banks are too big to fail. And that's just not the case anymore. There's laws and regulations in place that will not, if they fail, they fail. So people running to deposit money in these larger banks and institutions are not just, they're not understanding the laws and what took place after 2008. But there's nothing like a community or regional bank to bank for your business, because that they're in your area, they're in your region, they're in your city, they're in your state. We're not, you know, lending money for people to build buildings in New York. We're lending money for people to build buildings in Boise or commercial developments in Phoenix, or, you know, the places that we're at in Sarasota, Florida, those kind of things. So we're very localized. We're very specific to our areas that we do business in. And it's just, you have the ability to reach out to somebody that's right there. And I know they have branches for Chase and these different banks and these bigger banks in these areas, but it's just not the same. You have the ability to, like for our bank, for example, you could talk to the CEO, the president, anytime you want. Like there's just a different feel to a bank like ours.
It's interesting you mentioned that. you just made me think about my own experience as a business owner, right? And when I opened my first, it's not this business, a different business, my first business account, right? I opened it, I'm based out of Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. I opened it in North Bank of Georgia, which is a local bank. Yeah. And one of the reasons that I decided to open there is because I had a bank manager that would always greet me. And when I called the bank to check on accounts, would be attending me, and would know my name and my wife's name. And, I'm talking about 10, 15 years, right? Yeah. But that was a huge differentiator versus because I had a bank account with Bank of America. Yeah. And that was very impersonal, impersonal.
They're too big to be personal. You can go into a branch and get to know the people in your branch, but they're going to change most of the time. All right. Mm-hmm. But these, the North Bank of Georgia, right there, they're going to keep the same people for longer than these other places are. And you're going to get to know those people, and they know your accounts and they know information. And when you call, you can always get a hold of them. Mm-hmm. Even if you're leaving a message for somebody, that person that you know is going to call you back.
I felt that I cared as a customer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that if I had to summarize it, I felt that I cared as a customer.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. So taking all of this into account, tell me about the new banking customer, because obviously the new banking customer right now is probably not wanting to walk into a branch. Maybe it's wanting to do a lot of digital stuff. Maybe, it's actually thinking of, most of their business is done online as you said, QuickBooks, et cetera. What is different? What is their journey? What are they expecting from their?
Sure. So I think it just depends on what their business is with the bank, right? So a commercial real estate developer and a commercial property manager and those kind of things, they're going to have a different experience than somebody that owns kind of a small manufacturing facility down the street from the bank, right? It depends on what they are doing as a business and a business person. That's how they're going to interact with the bank as a whole. But in general, even at the smaller banks like ours, even at the community level and regional level and banks like us, our customers still expect good technology and good digital tools to be able to manage those processes. And so we have to provide the same kind of tools that the larger banks are providing. We have to provide them in a timely manner. We have to make sure that we're up to date with whatever releases are coming out for different things. And like I said earlier, we have to make sure that their online banking works, that they're getting their statements, that they're getting all of the tools and things that they need to manage their business. We try to be a part of their business to where we're not interfering with anything they're doing. We are just the financial side of their business. We want to make things easy for them. We don't want to make things difficult for them. If they need to get wires out or they need, there's all kinds of things that businesses need to do on a day-to-day basis. And we have to have the technology and tools there available to them to do those things.
But I guess the question is from a marketing perspective, how do you find them? How do you segment? I mean, how do you segment them, and how do you create the specific, do you have specific audiences? Can you tell me a little bit more about?
Yeah, sure. So our business is different, like I said, because we're a commercial and business bank. So we are looking for businesses in our areas that that we do business in. And so in a lot of cases, it's just what everybody would think, right? So there are so many places where you can find these businesses online, advertising, doing whatever you need to do. There's a finite number of businesses in every location. It's not infinite. There's a number of businesses that reside and exist in our areas of operation that fit our mold and fit our business type of people that we want to bank. Mm-hmm. And so we go out and look for those specific businesses. Whether it's by dollar amount or whether it's their real estate company, whatever we're looking for at that time is what we go out and look for. And in every area, like I said, there are ways to find those businesses. It's not just an infinite number and you're just lost at sea trying to find these places. Like there are a finite number of businesses that fit our mold and fit our business model of people that we want to bank. And so we go find them that way.
Do you have a very clear buyer persona that you're trying to address? And okay.
And each of our relationship managers, they may have different personas that they're looking for, right? They may have different mm-hmm. business types that they're looking for. So we work with them individually to find mm-hmm. out who they are looking for and who they've banked in the past and what their really industry specific, business type specific information is that they need to get from our marketing team. And then we go out there and get that for those individuals. And then that's how they find those places.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a lot of, you know, in the banking industry, how important is, you know, the use of AI and data analytics and those advanced, you know, data mining for?
Yeah. So I would say data analytics and data specifically separate from analytics are both, those are more important tools to us right now. The mm-hmm. artificial intelligence has come out where that's something that we're not really, I mean, we see it's out there. We see what it can do. It's not something we're going to use here anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So, but data and analytics is very important to us. You know, we're marketers, and like you and I talked about before about, you know, kind of failures in marketing. And so we don't even look at them as failures. We will launch a campaign. We launched a campaign of putting sending out mailers to clients when I first got here. We received nothing back. We probably sent out hundreds of thousands of mailers. We received mm-hmm. very little back from it. And that led us to just into the digital space more because we realized that our clients, our business clients, they get so much mail at their offices, they're not going to open those. So mm-hmm. it was a failure at the time, but we looked at it and just said, okay, well, we learned a massive amount from that. Now we're just going to move on, and here's how we're going to advertise moving forward. And so we take each of our segments, each of our platforms that we use, and we pull different segments of the population, the business population, from different platforms. Honestly, mm-hmm. There may be some people on LinkedIn, there may be some people on Facebook, there may be some people on, you know, any one of these platforms. So we're mm-hmm. using different platforms all the time to try to make sure that we're getting the right kind of people into the bank that we want to bank.
Of course, of course, of course. What about cybersecurity?
Cybersecurity, thank God, is not under my purview.
But what about talking about using cybersecurity as part of your sales pitch?
It's a major, major factor in everything we do. So I work directly with Matt March, who is our chief technology officer. We're really close in what we do together. Every tool that my team builds online, every lead form, every platform, every website, every landing page, everything, I work directly with his team to make sure that we have the utmost security involved. Everything is buttoned up. So it is a massive, massive, just omnipresent issue at our bank and probably at every bank.
At every bank. Yeah. I guess my question was from a communications perspective, right?
Sure.
How forward do you need to be with the cybersecurity message, you know that your money is secure with, you know, is that important to customers, so or is not, or they assume that every
we have a whole education portal that we have that we, you know, they get emails I think it's every other week about some different sort of cybersecurity, how to manage your accounts, what emails not to open, what not to click on. Like it's a constant communication and constant battle mm-hmm. for any kind of financial institution like ours. No matter who they are, whether they're you know, national or international players, they're always trying to crack the code. And so we are just trying to, we always are one step ahead of them. And we make sure that everything that we do is secure, mm-hmm. that our clients stay secure, that our clients know the newest scams that are taking place. We're keeping them informed at all times.
Of course, of course. Yeah. So is there a deeply held belief about your industry that you disagree with?
You know, it's funny that the only thing that I disagree with now after being here for about 4 years is, before I came into banking, all you would think about is the old stuffy banker, just you know, the big guy in the suit, and just, you know, kind of those are bankers, and you know, that's how you went and got your money and this kind of stuff. And I mean, I don't work with anybody like that. I'm sure that there are banks that have those kind of people in there, but everybody here is kind of like me. We're all just kind of, you know, guys and girls that are just in one aspect of banking or another, whether it's compliance, technology, security, whatever it is. and we're just all kind of doing our own jobs. It's not, there's not this like one big banker guy that's, you know, kind of overlording everything. It's just it, that kind of banking image is really funny to me because it hasn't
existed. Yeah, it's very cliche, right, from the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's very New York too, right? It's
like, yeah, so that's where I think, you know, it comes to JP Morgan days and those kind of, you know, back in the day. So yeah, that's, I mean, where everybody that I work with now is very intelligent, they all have their different areas of expertise. Like it's just it's an industry just like everything else would be, right? It's just, it's, yeah, and it's a fast moving industry as well. So
it's a fast moving industry for
sure. Yeah, you would look at banking and think like, oh, it's just kind of slow and steady, you know, keep, you know, the government regulations that are in place, the security that it takes, the, you know, just knowing what your customers want, it kind of has a little bit of everything. And so it's an exciting place to be.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a US citizen, right? But and most people can guess from my accent, I didn't grow in the United States, right? I grew up in Mexico, and for years, I would, have to send at some point, let's say, wire transfers to family members in Mexico, you know, helping out with different things, etc. And for years, I used to send my wire transfers through my bank, right? Whatever account I was using, right? Citibank, Bank of America, whatever that is, Wells Fargo. What I've noticed in the last 5 years is that there's been some new players coming into the market that are solving some very specific issues.
Yeah.
At a great price point and at a much better service, right? So, for example, at some point I migrated my wire transfers to TransferWise, right? Sure. And TransferWise is a service that allows my money to get to the person I'm sending it in seconds instead of days, right? And at the 10% cost of what I was paying, let's say, one of the big retail banks, right?
Yeah.
So like that, there's so many different solutions coming up.
Yep.
How do you deal with that? Or how do you from your perspective working on I know it's a regional bank, but you know, how do you deal with all of those micro competitors that are coming in with something very
specific? We are, as you know, we're coming up with solutions, you know, similar to what you're talking about, and we have other things that we're working on in that space. And our biggest advantage is a lot of the companies that work on those kind of things, they're not banks. So what has to happen is they have to end up partnering with a bank. They come up with kind of a technology solution for a kind of a wire transfer thing. Then they have to partner with the bank. And then it's a whole thing. Whatever we build here internally has the backing of the bank, right? Mm-hmm. We're a bank first. We will build tools and technology and build different things to help clients and prospects out. But we always are the bank. And so in a lot of cases, these, you know, even online lenders or online tools, things like that, they're not a bank. They don't have, they don't have the wherewithal of a bank. They don't have the intelligence of a bank. They don't know the cycles that a bank's been through. And so we have done all of that. And so the things that we do and the things that we build have that in mind at all times. So we make sure that what we're building is correct. What we're building makes sense. What we're building is fundamentally sound. And so we just don't go off free willy-nilly and just start building different technologies because everybody else is doing it. We make sure that we're doing our research and we're building things that are beneficial to clients and prospects alike.
Yeah, so less risk for customers too. So let's talk about the trends for the next 2 years, and we're getting to a close on on this conversation. So what do you think is going to come in the next couple of years? What can we be expecting from the banking industry?
So I don't know, you know, off the top of my head, the next couple of years we can expect. I would hope that it's a lot more soundness and sound guidance and sound principles from banking, which is what we live by at this bank. But I honestly think that you're going to see a few technology advances, not major things coming out. There's not things that are just going to turn the financial world upside down. But I think that smart banks like ours are going to take their time. They're going to make sure that they make, you know, the right decisions and do things the right way. And I think over the next couple of years, you're going to see hopefully banks trend to just more of a sound and secure kind of way to manage their clients' money and things like that. So I don't see anything upsetting the apple cart over the next couple of years.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. You know, it's good to know that there's no Netflix coming to, you know, Netflix of the banking industry.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And Netflix of banking might be on the way, but I haven't seen it yet.
No. And you know, okay. So from a very personal perspective, I think, and I think this will be the same for everyone. I think with what has happened with the cryptocurrency, right? And with the, you know, what we've just talked about, the collapse of a few banks, et cetera. With COVID, I think with all of this, I think there's never been a better understanding of we want our money to be safe, right? Yeah. As customers, you know, you know, maybe if I'm watching or playing a game or watching a TV show, you know, I want a very young, super hip person programming something very, very crazy that I'm going to use. Right. But for my money, I want Harry, who's 65 years old and has been doing this for 40 years, advising me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. That's it's very important. Everybody that listens to this show, I would tell you right now, know who your banker is. Know who you bank with. Make sure that it's not, you know, some flash in the pan, really quick guy's gonna, you know, go on TV. It's just, you got to make sure that you're banking with a sound institution.
And, yeah, exactly.
And you'll know that by talking to the CEO, the president, or your relationship manager, or your market area president. Those kind of things. You should have access to some higher level people at the bank that you bank. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're a business and you need to know what's going on. So don't wait until something happens to try to get a hold of everybody. Make sure that you're integrated with that bank and know who's around and know who to talk to in times of need. So.
Excellent. Well, Dwight, thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for sharing some of your insights and experience in the industry. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Gerardo. I appreciate it.
Bye, everyone.